What would it mean to you to create a life you love? My mission through Quiet the Hive is to ensure that the women I work with get to the end of days thinking, holy cow, what a ride, rather than if only I'd been brave enough to, or I wish I'd had the strength to. And so that's what we take further here on From Inside the Hive podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. Every other week, you'll hear my own musings, things that I hope will inspire, challenge you, give you things to try out and things to channel. And those alternate weeks, I have an amazing guest who's going to share with you the story of their brave choice or something that can inspire you, along with hints and tips for how you can think about creating a life you love. If you want more of this outside of the podcast, then why not sign up for The Compass, my four-week self-guided online course helping you reconnect with you. Head to quietthehive.thinkific.com. Or perhaps you'd like to take it further and get some one-to-one coaching with me, an award-winning mindset coach. I'd be delighted to spend time helping you create a life you love. Okay, on with the show. I think you might begin to understand something of my girl crush on today's guest when you find out how I discovered her. So I found out that we were both nominated at the incredible Small Awards. I happened to be looking at some of the other people who were up for awards that evening and came across her stories on Instagram, where she was showcasing a couple of outfits and asking people what she should wear. In one of those, she was top to toe in silver sequins. And dear listener, at that point, it was love at first sight. The wonderful Abby Booth is everything that she seems and more on Instagram. Joyful, warm, supportive, and a huge amount of fun to spend time with. And I really hope that you enjoy the time you're about to spend with her too. Hello, hello, and welcome to From Inside the Hive with me, Jane Galloway from Quiet the Hive. I have been stalking our next guest for a little while. We met in person nearly a year ago, and I've been so keen to bring her voice onto this channel because I know you're going to love her. Abby Booth is a personal stylist and body shape expert, and you may know her better as Stories with Clothes, where she vibrantly shares with us her love of clothes, colour, and how that can make a difference for other people too. So without further ado, I'm going to say good morning, Abby.
Good morning, and thank you so much for inviting me on. It's lovely to be here.
I'm so pleased you're here. We were just saying before we pressed record that when I met you, I just loved your energy and your vibrancy. I think you are such a joy. You're one of those people. You know how you should unfollow anyone who doesn't bring you joy? You are definitely one of those people who people need to follow, because I think your vibrancy just shines and it cheers me up and it makes me smile every time I see you on my Instagram.
Oh, thank you. Do you know what? Someone, one of my clients was at an event recently and she was talking to another lady and said, I've been using this stylist. Her name's Abby. And this other lady was like, oh, is that Stories of Clothes? Oh, I follow her page and she makes me so happy. And my client rang and left me a voice note to share this. And I was like, a little cry, because I was just like, oh my God, how lovely is that? That this other lady's like, oh, yes, I follow. And I think, that means everything to me, that if I can make a difference to someone and make them feel happy and give them a little spring in their step, then I feel like I've achieved everything I set out to achieve with the business. So very happy.
Oh, I love that so much. So tell us a little bit more about you, about Stories with Clothes, and about what lights you up. Who are you as a person, Abby?
So I created Stories with Clothes about 6 years ago. I saw a need for women who wanted to feel beautiful in their own skin as it is right now. And for me, it was a journey to become a stylist. So I set out as a visual merchandiser initially. So I did window displays, but I really wanted to be on the shop floor with the customers. So I was permanently leaning out of the window to speak to the women about the clothes they were choosing, what, you know, how it was making them feel. And from there, I then set up my own boutique. Sadly, my lease ended and I kind of naturally moved into personal styling, because that's what really lit me up when I was in the shop. It was like, oh, how can I How can I help that woman really connect with her style? How can I make her feel that being her is her superpower and she doesn't actually need anything else except to be herself and let that shine? And she doesn't need anyone else's opinion. She doesn't need anyone else's view on what she should be wearing. It was up to her to give her the freedom to be able to do that. And when my shop closed, all my friends said to me, "Oh, what you're really good at is being with women and helping them feel really good about themselves." And I thought, that's something that I think is quite rare. And also, I do see it as my superpower now. I think it took me a long time to connect with that. And when I started retraining, it was quite an emotional journey for me because I realized that a lot of what I was learning about body shape actually connected in with my own journey, with to self-acceptance and understanding my own body shape. So I feel like I bring to the table a lot of empathy and understanding because I spent about 15 years of my life trying to be something that I wasn't. And actually, as soon as I accepted who I was and the skin I was in, I've really flown since then. And I'm probably the biggest I've ever been. And I'm kind of perhaps too much. All the things that people told me, oh, you're too much, you're too emotional, you're the most emotional person I've ever met. Those I now see instead of faults, I think actually that's what makes me a really great stylist. That means I can really get to the heart of my clients. So it's been a journey and it's been a process for me. And it's why I called business Stories with Clothes, because ultimately it's always about the story of the woman. What is her story? What's her journey been? Where's she going? And who is she becoming? And how can I help her do that and navigate that in a really graceful, beautiful way? That's a little bit about me, and that's why I called the business Stories with Clothes. So
Oh my goodness. Do you know what? It makes me feel quite, I feel I've got goosebumps actually. I feel quite emotional hearing you talk because you talk with such passion and love for what you do. And it's not about the business, it's about actually the difference that it makes, which it so resonates with me. It's just wonderful. And there's just something so refreshing about that. I keep coming back to that word vibrancy when I think about you. I think probably because of the colours you use, but that energy and that love and care that you show people is just phenomenal. I mean, you've got quite a long history then in sort of fashion, haven't you, in terms of setting up your boutique and things. And I think you were also a lecturer at London College of Style, is that right?
I was. So I took on that role actually in lockdown, and it kind of saved my sanity, saved my career, because I was like, when lockdown happened, I thought, what am I going to do? Ultimately, I work one-to-one with people in person, so I had to sort of convert the business to online, like many of our small businesses, big businesses, whoever had to do, which I did very quickly. I adapted and pivoted really, really quickly, but the teaching gave me some security financially. But it also gave me something to look forward to. It was the first time I'd been able to share my skills and experience as a stylist with other potential stylists. And it was hugely rewarding because there was a lot of need out there to feel some sort of connection with other people. And the students came from all over the world, so many different backgrounds, so many different ages and diversities. But actually, what we all had in common was that we were joining together because we wanted to make a difference to how other women felt. So it was a really joyful exploratory time. I learned a lot about myself. I didn't particularly enjoy school myself. I have a very checkered history with education. So for me, it was a really beautiful thing to come full circle and be like, wow, I'm actually now sharing my skills as I am this messy individual, complex individual, as we all are, but I'm able to share my skills. It gave me a lot of confidence in my ability, not only as a stylist, but as a woman as well, to be able to share skills and share knowledge and share power and not be one of those people that keeps it all to themselves and doesn't want to share and lift other women up. So I think it had a big impact on me in lots of areas. And I felt like I learned from the students as well, because everybody looked at things in a different light, in a different way. And I went on then to teach at the college in London, and it was an incredibly challenging time because the students were travelling from all over the world, and we couldn't do a lot of the things that we would originally have offered because we couldn't get into the shops. And so we had to really pivot and adapt and try and give them an experience that still felt relevant and useful to them. So I think I know I learned a huge amount. I also made some really gorgeous connections. I made a beautiful best friend, and I always feel if I can go into something and leave it with a new and wonderful friend, then I am totally winning at life, because I think it's so rare to meet someone that you have an immediate connection with. And for me, that was one of the most rewarding things of that whole experience, was that I came away with an amazing, incredible best friend who I absolutely adore. So for me, it had a really lovely journey. I stopped teaching late last year because I really wanted to focus on the business. I've done it for 3.5 years, but I think, yeah, it was an absolutely incredible experience and one that I'll really treasure for the rest of my life. And it also gave me a new understanding and appreciation of education and learning, and actually gave me a love of learning myself. And I'm really thankful for that, because I think until then, I was quite bullied at school. I was very, very shy. So for me, it wasn't a good experience. So I think to be able to change the narrative around that and make it really inclusive and make people feel really special and like their opinion was really valuable, I feel like that was a really wonderful thing to be able to do and be part of.
That's so amazing. There's something there, isn't there, around how your history or your journey shapes the way you work with other people. So, for example, your experience in education, I'm sorry you had that rubbish experience, but the fact that you took that into how you wanted to teach, what sort of a lecturer you wanted to be, or how you wanted to connect in the classroom with other people, it's so lovely that that shaped how that worked for you. In the same way that you spoke about actually your story of self-acceptance and how once you started accepting yourself, it shifted things for you. And that's the gist I get, or the vibe I get from what you try and do for other people as well through Stories with Clothes. Is that how it feels, using your story and history to shape your experiences for other people as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It is all about the stories, isn't it? It's about taking what you've learned, what you've felt, what you've experienced, and then moving that into a positive space for other people. I think I was always taught, when I came from a corporate background initially, and I had a wonderful boss who always said to me, we're always teaching and enabling our teams to do our jobs so that we can then progress and they also progress, especially if we were an all-female team in a very, very male-dominating environment. I worked for the Mirror Group for over 10 years. And we were an all-woman team, and she was all about lifting other women up, giving them the skill set to be able to do the jobs that we were doing so that then we could progress and they could also progress. And it always stuck with me, because I thought it was the first time another woman had ever said to me, but I want you to do well. I want you to be able to take my job so that I can then go and do the next job and progress and see that development. And so for me, that's always been an important aspect and something that I always think you should pay it forward. So if I get a compliment, I'm then always going to pay it forward to someone else, and I will just find someone. And it doesn't, it could be something really, really simple as, I love your bag, or your smile is so beautiful. And you can see that it literally lights up that person. And I always think, I feel like I like to go around and be a bit of ray of sunshine, because you never know what other people are going through. And if you can just make them stand a little bit taller, have a spring in their step, just from saying a few simple words, the big question is, why wouldn't you? Like, why wouldn't you? You get that gorgeous sort of endorphin hit from it. And you can see as they walk away, they are literally standing like 3 inches taller.
So true. It's so
Yeah,
true.
so I always think it's about sort of paying that forward. And I think it's that whole understanding of, how can I make a difference with the skills that I've got and the experiences that I have, and then making some changes and disrupting things, but in a way that feels doable for people. I'm not an activist. I'm definitely, I think, a disruptor in I want people to feel differently about their bodies. I want people to accept themselves as they are, and acceptance isn't giving up. I think acceptance is a really interesting word. Acceptance is really powerful when it's related to body shape, especially if you've had a lifetime of wanting something that you haven't got. Acceptance is super powerful. So I think it sort of comes full circle back to that, really.
It's amazing that thing about having role models as well. I'm thinking about women as well in terms of how they appear. So we're bombarded a lot of the time with very petite, very gorgeous, perfectly airbrushed women in our media sort of consumption. But there are slowly there are beginning to be models who are more real, who aren't airbrushed as much. And then you have these women like so the person that popped into my head was someone like Lizzo, for example, who is a plus size woman who is super fit and does these incredible dance routines and presents with just this vivacious, this is me, here I am, take it or leave it kind of approach. And actually, that is so attractive on a person, someone who can own who they are with confidence and show up as them full as their full selves. And of course, she won't be radiant all the time. You know, I'm sure she has her off days, and she has days much like me today, I have to say to people who are listening. So I'm interviewing a stylist, and I'm sitting here in an oatmeal jumper and a cream puffer jacket. These are not my colors. They do nothing for me, but I went for a swim this morning. I'm freezing. So I did have a woolly beanie hat on as well earlier, but I took that off for Abby's sake. But there is something about having role models in the same way that you did in the Mirror Group through that boss as well. Role models are so important. And I think that's something that you do for women as well, because you are so fabulous with the way you present yourself in terms of, hey, do you know what? Here's some colors, and here's some colors that clash, but I make them look awesome. And here's some colors that you could take out and use. And you don't know how to wear these jeans? Here are three ideas that I do. Give it a go and see what happens. And I love that. And I just wondered, why do clothes matter so much to you in terms of empowering women? How do clothes do that empowerment for us?
It always comes from within, and that's why the story of the woman is so important. But first off, but the clothes are an expression of who we are. We use our clothes as self-expression. You know, we use them also to keep warm and to keep safe and be practical. But when we change up our look and we really discover who we are as a person, as a woman, and then we dress absolutely for them, something magical happens inside. That then comes to the fore, comes to the outside. And we show up as our true selves, which is exactly what we should be doing. Sometimes we're not because we're in situations where perhaps we're doing a job that we don't perhaps particularly enjoy or isn't really showing our full skill set. But it's about giving you the skills and the confidence to be able to show up 100% as you, no matter the situation, so that you can cope with it with kind of your full powers, you know, at the forefront, if you like. And it's about being noticed if you want that, but also not being ignored and not being invisible. I work with a lot of women who one of the first things they say to me is, I don't want to feel invisible anymore.
Oh, dear.
And you know, and it's that age thing which I find immensely frustrating. You know, why are we ignoring these really wise women that have all this experience? And suddenly they do become invisible in their words, you know, they and I want them to step up and be noticed in a way that's acceptable to them, and feel utterly like themselves. So the clothes really are the best way I can describe it in my view is they're like the icing on the cake. You've got all the ingredients inside the cake, which is what makes it delicious and interesting, what makes you want to go back for more. But actually, it's the icing then the top covering, if you like, that first attracts you to that cake. So you've got to get people interested in the cake, if you like, or interested in the woman before they then want to delve in and have a piece of that cake. So you know, it's a double-edged sword. When you wear clothes that you feel great in, you hold yourself in a different way, exactly like the woman who receives the compliment. She stands a little bit taller, she starts to own her space a little bit more because someone has almost validated her existence and said, you look amazing. And she suddenly says to herself, yeah, I
I
do.
do, yeah.
And they grow into that space. And it's about taking up space and not being invisible, being seen for who you truly are, whatever that means for you. And it's worth pointing out here that I don't dress people to look like me. I know I wear a lot of bright colors. It's never about that. It's about me understanding who they are, what their journey is, where they're going, and how I can enable them to do that as a stylist. So it's always about understanding the story of that woman. But that's why the clothes are so powerful. The cake analogy has just come to me from From
one.
nowhere, I wasn't expecting to say that, but now I'm thinking I really want a piece of juicy, nice carrot cake with some really thick buttercream icing, and I might
Oh.
have to go and find that in a minute because it's now making me salivate at this gorgeous, gorgeous cake. But I think it's actually quite a good way of describing it. It's, especially if you're a woman looking to change your career path, or you want to show up more, you want to be noticed, perhaps you want a promotion, or perhaps you just don't want to be forgotten about or in the shadows any longer. There's loads of reasons why kind of women seek out a stylist, but that is a really good kind of explanation of why and where they're going.
There's so much in that. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the invisibility piece and a little bit about work as well. So I run a program called Career Confidence, which is helping women just kind of refine themselves, their mojo, their voice in the workspace, right? And we look at all sorts of different aspects. And one of the conversations that we got into, and something that I had some really interesting feedback, it was almost an off-the-cuff conversation around how you dress at work. And we were talking about how there is this expectation that depending on the role that you do, there is kind of an outfit that you're expected to wear. And so we were having a conversation about how you can bring part of who you are, your authentic self, to work in the clothing that you wear. You do not have to wear a dark suit to work. You just don't. It is ingrained in the mindset. But unless you've got it written into a uniform policy, then there is nothing else saying that you have to do that. You're just kind of going on the assumption and on the modeling of everyone else. And I talked about how I did a podcast, and the last question the woman asked me, she said, "You're really known for your," and don't judge me on this, Abby, looking at my outfit now, but she said, "You're really known for your sense of creative style and big jewelry," because I love big jewelry. I'm loving your necklace, by the way. I was wearing the most incredible three-tooth big pearl necklace. And that really threw me because I didn't think that that was something about me that people noticed. But I intentionally made this choice to wear big jewelry because I love it. And I never wore it at work because that wasn't the done thing. And I started wearing it at work. And it's amazing how just adding little touches of who you really are to your work outfit, whether that's a bit of color or a big piece of jewelry or some different shoes, or maybe you wear all dark, but then you go for a bright jacket or something like that, whatever it is, there is something about how you don't have to dress in a traditionally corporate fashion to fit in at work. So that piece you said about how you might want to dress to change your career or set yourself up for a different slice of the work pie, whatever it might be, and that invisibility, that sense of actually not standing out and not owning who we might want to appear. We might dress completely differently out of work than we do at work. And I was just intrigued as to that sort of combination of standing out, but being invisible, but towing the corporate line, and how you can play with that, I guess. Is that something that comes up with your clients when you dress them?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's about navigating it for the individual circumstances. So some businesses are much more traditional than others. And for those women who really want to bring themselves but perhaps can't, and perhaps they do have a strict set of boundaries surrounding what they can wear, it's about bringing perhaps their creative, or bringing whatever elements of their personality into that outfit in a way that's acceptable for their business environment, and appropriate, but also lets their personality shine. So it can be through really leery, beautiful lingerie. No one else knows you're wearing it, but you do. And it gives you, it's like that little superpower. It's almost, I'm quite a rebellious person. And I like to share that with clients, if they're ready for it. Most of my clients are actually quite rebellious women at heart. And it's about rediscovering that rebelliousness and bringing that to the fore. And you can do that in so many beautiful, secretive ways. Like, we dress for ourselves, right? That's the first thing that I kind of teach
Love
women,
that.
is that we're never dressing for anyone else. If we get a compliment, wonderful. Actually, most women dress for other women. If we get a compliment from a woman, it feels way more important and more valuable than if we get a compliment from a man. It might be nice, we're like, yeah, whatever. But if it's from a woman, we're like, oh yes, that's what's making me stand tall today.
So
So
true.
you can do it in so many different ways. It may be even from the lining of a jacket. So it's discreetly done, but it's there. And for me, it's like almost sort of fueling you from the inside inside out. It could be bright socks, or it could be lacy socks. If you've got quite a romantic personality, you can't go around wearing floral, ruffly prints and things. So, maybe we bring in, a lace sock or the lining of a bag, or, like you said, jewellery. Jewellery is such a beautiful example of it. It could be fabulous shoes, very dramatic shoes, for example. So there's lots of different ways of adding it in to enable women to feel like themselves and bring their true selves, but in a way that's appropriate and discreet, depending on the environment. For other work environments, then you can be a little bit more creative, and we can weave in some, interest. It might be through texture. Texture is really underrated in styling and in just understanding how that can make a difference. Some women, they don't want to wear colour, but what they want is something that's tactile and of interest, and it's all about the touch for them. So it's really about me understanding what makes them tick as a woman, and then delivering that into looks that work for them, are appropriate for them, and suit their lifestyle, suits their budget as well. Not everybody's got £10,000 to spend on clothes. It's my job to go and fulfill that brief and deliver that brief into them. So I'm the one that will go and scour out the right places to go to fulfill that. So it can be done in so many different ways. The interesting thing for me as a stylist is, how do I get there? How do I curate what this woman is, and where her journey is going, and how I can best help her to achieve that and do that. And that's where the beauty lies for me. And it's about getting to the heart of someone. And I've sort of learned to discover that I'm really good at that. I think particularly for me growing up, we're taught not to listen to our intuition. You're taught to listen to your head. Head is really useful, but actually your heart and your intuition is there for a very good reason. And often when you go back, if you've made poor decisions and you look back, you think, I kind of knew that, but I didn't really listen because my head was saying to me, this is more money, or this is a better job, or it's nearer, or whatever it is. And when you go back and revisit, you're like, you knew really at heart. And I've learned to listen to that and really embrace that. And I think that's what helps me navigate this journey to help women really understand themselves and be the version of the woman that they already are, or they're moving into, or they're journeying into, and how they can navigate in this sort of gorgeous, gorgeous way. For some women, they don't want to jump straight into that either. They don't want to turn up to work and everyone be like, oh wow, have you seen a stylist? Because they don't want that level of attention. So it's like, how can we weave this in a really gentle way that still is making her feel like she's making some changes, but doing it in a way that's not really obvious to everyone? So everybody's very, very different. Some people want to go in and be noticed, but yeah, it's about navigating what is right for that particular woman and then delivering it into her.
So, you said you wanted to go for carrot cake earlier. I now want to go and buy some neon underwear. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to be searching out later
Let's do
when I pass
it.
by on the street.
Love me some neon.
Absolutely. It's really interesting to me that journey of confidence and visibility and sort of self-awareness. I think there is something beautiful about the fact that older you get, I think, in my experience and some of the friends that I speak to, the fewer F's you give about what other people think about you. So you become a bit more confident about thinking, do you know what? I love sequins on a Tuesday. I'm going to wear sequins on a Tuesday. I don't care, or whatever it might be. But in the same hand, a lot of women hit that stride as they're also going through perimenopause, for example. And we know that some of the side effects of perimenopause can be a real impact on your self-confidence. And so recently I had a real wobble. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what it was about, but for someone who helps other women to feel more confident and be braver, I started thinking, I'm not feeling good. What am I doing? I'm failing at everything. I'm dreadful. I shouldn't be doing the work that I'm doing. One of those really awful
Oh,
spirals.
those spirals, yeah.
Exactly. And I thought, do you know what? One of the things I teach people about is their sort of their inner goddess, I suppose. So how you tap into, in the same way you have your inner critic, how you tap into your inner wisdom, that inner wise voice. And I did a bit of a session. I thought, right, I'm going to start dressing like I love myself. And I, for about 3 or 4 days, I intentionally wore things that I really wanted to just put on my tracky bees and a jumper. And I thought, no, I'm going to intentionally choose things that make me feel fabulous. And I have to say, I think it's responsible for in that period, completely shifting how I felt about myself. By the end of the week, I was feeling so much better. And I'm sure part of that was hormones, but there was definitely something about thinking, no jumper, not you today. Lovely satin shirt, that's what I'm going for. And there's something that
Yes.
really, clothes really do impact, I think, how we feel about ourselves emotionally as much as anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you can change the course of your day really quickly and really simply from choosing outfits which help you feel fabulous
Yeah.
and making, I think it's conscious, active choices as well. You know, like you made the decision to wear clothes that made you feel fabulous. And guess what? It made you feel fabulous. It took you out of
Totally.
something. Like you say, maybe you were going out of that sort of, you know, that hormonal feeling anyway, but the clothes certainly help you get there quicker.
Yeah.
For me, one of the best sort of again, I keep using food analogies here. This is really
Go
bad. I'm
for
also hungry. It's near lunchtime, and
it.
but things like color is a great way of having a coffee, if you like. It's like the coffee of getting dressed. It gives you that feeling of 0 to 100 really, really quickly if you're wearing colors that kind of lift you up. But it doesn't mean you have to go around in rainbow colors and clashing colors and all of that sort of thing. You know, it can be really simple. Again, accessories come to the fore, you know, especially if you're needing to dress appropriately for a work environment, for example. But it can really shift your energy. You know, it is a science-based subject, color as well. I think often people think it's you know, a bit woo-woo and sort of, oh, what's that? What does it really mean? You know, there's been a lot of coverage over on TikTok with color. It's become a lot more popular again. People are starting to revisit again. And I think understanding the psychology behind it really helps you appreciate its power and the fact that it can lift you out of somewhere and take you somewhere different. And it can also have the opposite effect of helping to, excuse me, calm you and reduce anxiety. So if you're having an anxious day or you're feeling nervous or, you know, you've had a not so great day, it can also create and provide comfort for you as well. So it's not always about stepping up and being noticed and wearing the bright colours to give you that energy. It can also be a protective tool as well. And I think that's the beauty of it. It can do either and everything in between. So yeah.
Amazing. And that comes back to what you were saying earlier about textures as well, because there
Yeah.
are certain textures that make you feel cocooned and comfortable and safe in the same way that there are some things like sequins or glitter that make you feel a bit more vivacious and vibrant. It's a really good
Absolutely.
call, actually. So thinking not only about color, but about texture and what you're choosing to put against your skin will change that too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it, you know, it sometimes, I think with style and fashion, I think it can feel a bit overwhelming to people sometimes. I think they can feel that, oh my gosh, I've got to make all these changes and there's so much for me to learn. But actually, I always say to people, like, dial it right back and think about when you played dress up when you were a child. And either you dressed up your dollies, you know, maybe your Barbie. I was always a Cindy girl personally.
Me
Or I loved my Cindy.
Yeah.
And I loved the horse. She had loads of horses and she even had a three-legged horse because its leg broke on the ice one day. But anyway, I digress. But I love dressing up but also dressing up myself. And you know, really, when you go to say a dressing up party and you dress up as someone else, you become that person. And often you'll find that, you know, for dressing up parties, the shy people suddenly become someone that you know, never imagined them being. And so you know the power of that and how that can really change someone's energy and positivity. And it's exactly the same with our clothes and our style. And sometimes it's just about taking 10 minutes and having playing dress up. Delve into that wardrobe, find some pieces that have fallen off the hanger and you've forgotten about, and have a play with them. And it's a really joyful time. And it doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to involve buying loads of new things either. Sometimes it's just about taking back that time for you. Take a cup of tea, take a glass of wine, go and have a bit of a play and have some fun and see what happens. See where it takes you. You know, be creative with it and you will enjoy it as well. And I guarantee you'll find pieces that you'd forgotten you owned. And so you get the joy of having something new without spending any money as well. So
Yeah, I
yeah,
love that.
definitely recommend that.
So I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm gonna ask it anyway
Yeah.
because we quite often read what struck me as horrific headlines around Oh my gosh, you shouldn't wear this if you're over 40, or don't even think about going near this if you're not in your 20s, or if you're this shape, you must dress in this way, or whatever. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are around clothes rules, because a lot of people will think that if they want to think about how do I dress to suit myself, they will go to look for articles like that, and they might get told those sorts of things. And I'm just wondering how you navigate that sort of message to be able to go, well, actually, I've got a fabulous figure at 50 and I want to wear a crop top and I don't care what anyone says, or whatever it might be. What are your thoughts around those clothes rules?
Well, I'm a rule breaker and a bit of a rebel, so I think that the fashion police don't exist. I've never met them, I've never seen them. We often enforce those kind of opinions and rules on ourselves, or it comes from family, culture, what we've seen in the media and the press. And actually, when we kind of go backwards, I always say to people, why? I say, well, no, I can't wear that. I say, why? Why? And we go back and we go back and we go back. And it often results in a story or something they were told, often by another woman, actually, interestingly. You know, we're living in different times now, you know, and those women just, you go, grew up with what they experienced and what they were taught and told how to behave. So there's no blame there. It's just as it's a different journey that we're experiencing as women now. And often those rules were taught by other women to their daughters or other family members or friends. Oh, you can't wear blue and green. Blue and green should never be seen. What a load of rubbish. Look at nature. Nature never gets it wrong. And what do you see? You see green grass and you see blue sky, right? Nature knows. So we can take our guide from nature. We don't need to listen to other people who have only heard this from someone else, from someone else, from someone else. Who made up that weird rule anyway? So I you know, if someone has said that to me when I'm working with them, we always go back to why and why and why and why. And then eventually it ends up at usually a story around something they were told from a family member, interestingly enough. And then, you know, we look at does that matter anymore to them? Does what that person said matter now? And let's try it and see what happens. You might not like it just for the fact that you don't like those two colours together, for example, or you might try it and be like, oh yeah, the fashion police don't exist. Auntie Margaret didn't perhaps understand that blue and green looked flipping amazing. And so I think it's sometimes it's look, always looking at the why for me, because it's no point in me just saying, well, blue and green looks fabulous. You've got to believe and understand it. And I just keep using that as an analogy because I'm looking outside my studio and it's pouring with rain here, and I'm hoping to see some blue sky later.
Any minute, I'm sure.
I'm manifesting it. Come on, the blue sky. So I think rules are always there to be broken anyway. I think it's a lot of fun to break rules. I mean, look at someone like Iris Apfel. Did she care about rules? She couldn't give two figs about rules. And I think she gave a lot of creativity and energy to people of all ages, not just older people. I think, you know, she was a wonderful role model for younger women as well, to show them that actually you can continue to break the rules as you get older. You continue to have fun with your style as you get older. You continue to be utterly yourself and not give a fig what anyone says as you get older. So I think she, you know, she was an incredibly empowering role model. Some
Totally.
people like a set of boundaries and rules, if you like, around their style, because they find shopping, for example, overwhelming. So for some women, it might help them to have some boundaries, if you like, I'll call them rather, because they're never rules, they're guidelines as well. And even if they're rules, they're there to be broken. And then what I do once I've worked with someone for a period of time is once they've got their guidelines, I then teach them how to break those. But some women find it more comfortable to have a set of boundaries before I then teach them how to
Play,
break them, if you like. Yeah, so I think it's twofold. Some part times I think rules make people feel safe, and actually, where do we get in safety? It's where we sort of settle and plateau, isn't it? And it's where we grow when we're in the moment of challenge or experimentation, creativity. So that's really my job, is to encourage and support someone to experience something different.
Love that. So I know that there will be people listening who are now itching to go and look through their wardrobe and see what they find that they've forgotten about. But I also know there will be people listening going, well, that's all right if you've got lots of money. And I was just wondering, so I bought myself a really bright yellow satin top last year, and it's cropped, and I don't wear crop tops because I feel they do nothing for me. But I figured out I've got a pair of high-waisted trousers, and I wore it with these navy high-waisted trousers and this bright orange thing. And as soon as I wore it, I just felt fabulous. And that came from Vinted, and it cost me, I think, £3 or £4, and it's totally worth it.
Brilliant.
So that's one of the ways that I'm thinking about is something like Vinted. What other hints and tips would you give to people if they wanted to make sort of tweaking, adapting, or changing their style slightly more affordable?
Okay, so first off, I think go into your own wardrobe and have a really good look. Be quite objective with it. People always own more accessories than they realize and remember as well. And accessories are a brilliant way to add in your personality, add some print, add some texture and color. So I think those are the two best things I'd say is see what you've already got, because I bet you've got more. We always have more things than we remember or that we've worn for a while. We tend to wear the same things. It's the 80-20. We tend to wear sort of 20% of our wardrobe. Naturally, we've got 80% more things there if we just experimented. Again, having a clear out of that wardrobe is quite cleansing. It creates space, both physical and mentally. If you get rid of things that perhaps taunt you in a way, and if something doesn't fit me anymore, I might say, thanks very much. You've been great, but it's time for you to go and give someone else some joy now. And that can be a really nice way to shed and get rid. I also think for elevating a style quickly and affordably, I think try and look at small businesses. I always encourage women, especially with things like jewellery and accessories. There are some brilliant female-led small independent businesses that will be so happy when you buy something off them. And it's a bit like the whole thing of giving the lady the compliment and her walking off feeling a bit taller. When you buy from an independent business, they do a happy dance, right? They do, because it really means everything to them. So I think if you can, want to update and elevate, have a look at some of those small independent businesses first, because that will give you something new and exciting that's affordable and doable, and it perhaps gives you a way to explore a colour that you're perhaps nervous to wear in a full sort of outfit. But it's also bringing some joy to another woman, and I think that's a really nice way to do it. So I'll say those are my three kind of top tips. Delve into your wardrobe, look at your accessories, and then top up with perhaps a few beautiful accessories from some independent women-led businesses, and it will make you feel happy for two very good reasons.
I love that. That's a really good tip. Now, as always, we're beginning to run out of time, which always happens because it just flies by. And this has just been amazing, Abby. But I did warn you in advance. I warn all my guests in advance. There is always a question I'm going to ask you. And the question I would like to put to you now is, what advice would you give your 21-year-old self?
Oh God, I would say ditch the diets and exercise for the love of exercise, not because you're trying to change your body. And enjoy the small moments. I think I was always racing on to the next thing so quickly. I think we do as perhaps younger people, we think we've got eternity. I'd try and get myself to slow down and enjoy the moment. I look back at photos of myself now and I think, gosh, why wasn't I happier at that time? I looked amazing, but I didn't feel it inside. I didn't feel amazing. I felt like I was too fat. I was too big. I was too this. I was too much. I was too whatever. And I look at that photo now, and I kind of feel like, oh, that poor girl just needed someone to understand her and tell her that she was doing all right, and actually learn to love and accept your body as it is, and you're going to have so much more fun. And be able to eat the food and exercise for right reasons. So I think it would be around that. I would want her to enjoy her life a bit more, slow down, and ditch all the crappy diets.
I love that. What do you think would have been different for you if you'd have been able to go back and secretly visit your 21-year-old self and she'd taken that advice? Do you think things would have been different?
Yeah, I think I can be quite a stubborn person, so I wonder if I would actually take the advice. The honest truth, I'm not sure I would have done, because you probably like 21, 22, you think you know everything, don't you? And then you realize that, yeah, actually that you don't. But if
That
I
whole.
had been, wise enough to accept and take the advice, I don't know what would have happened. I wonder, it's a bit like the whole sliding doors thing, doesn't it? I wonder if my journey to self-acceptance would have been much quicker and kinder. And I don't know how that would have then changed my choices moving forward. I don't know if it might have changed my career quicker, or whether you'd have ended up in the same space, but maybe just in different, navigated it slightly differently.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Is the honest answer what would have
Well,
happened? But
I'm
yeah.
grateful for your 21-year-old self being your 21-year-old self, because whatever happened, you've ended up here doing this amazing thing. Abby, I know that people will be listening thinking, okay, I definitely need to go and follow her on Instagram and I need to find out more about these sessions. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing at the moment and how people can find you. And tell us about you, because you're doing a retreat as well, aren't you? Which I had my eye on in May. Tell us a little
Very
bit about that.
exciting.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm running my first star retreat this May. It's on the 11th and 12th of May, and it's at a beautiful destination or venue rather called New Barn Farm. It's in Seer Green, which is actually very close to where I live. And it's a 16-acre organic vineyard. It's absolutely beautiful. It has a very peaceful energy, but a good positive vibe as well. And it was when I first visited, I was like, absolutely, this is the space. And this weekend I kind of manifested my mind as a wedding to yourself. And so it's about really celebrating who you are and who you want to become and where you've come from, and celebrating your journey and your story of who you are and where you want to go towards next. So that's how I've imagined itself. So there's day tickets for those people that want to come for the day, just like a wedding. There's weekend tickets for people that want to come to the weekend. And there's lots of other guests who are all trusted women in my community and network. So there'll be lots of star master classes with me, which I'm building and creating exclusively for the weekend, which is very exciting. So I've got my creative hat on, and this weekend really is, it's like an elevation and a development of your style. So we're going to be doing some really creative, lovely things. And there's a gorgeous makeup workshop with my lovely friend Nadira Pasau's amazing makeup artist. And she also does face yoga, so we're going to have some lovely
Oh,
and tools and tips from her about how to sort of calm ourselves down and how to wake up our skin in the mornings. And her skill set is incredible. But what she is brilliant at is giving tools and tips that are doable for busy women. So it's not complicated contouring or ridiculous things that don't make us look like ourselves. It's kind of natural, beautiful makeup tips that make us feel like our best self really quickly and really doably. So that's going to be a great workshop. And then my lovely friend Joanne, who I met training as a stylist, actually. So she is also a trained stylist, but she has recently qualified with her nutrition degree, which is incredible. And so she's going to be running some wellness kind of tools, tips, and based around nutrition as we get older and looking after ourselves. So it's really all about caring and loving ourselves. So it's going to be fabulous. I can't wait. I've only got two tickets left for the weekend. I can't believe it. I
that's
know.
amazing.
And I've already got people on a wait list asking about the next one. So just
Oh,
as a heads
so
up, the next one's going to be in October. I can't believe
great.
I'm already talking about this.
Abby,
So
I'm writing that down because I really wanted to come and join you on this one, but I'm going to be on a canal boat that weekend. But October, I will
lovely.
be keeping my
But
eyes open
October,
for
wonder,
it.
I mean, I've got six people on a waiting list. So yeah, if you're interested in the October one, you can't come to the May one, let me know, because I am sort of formulating plans for that right now. So that's my sort of next biggest thing. I also run a gorgeous membership called the Style Squad, and I always get quite emotional talking about it, because this is like my passion. So it's body shape, it's focused on body shape, but we talk about and we delve into so many different areas of our style and who we are as women. They're very small groups, it's only six in a group, so it's quite you get a lot of time with me, being able to ask questions. And I run workshops for the groups. We ran one yesterday, which is an hour and a half style personality workshop. So it's more than just body shape. It's quite involved if you want it to be. There's lots of women who like watching from the side and taking in and absorbing at their own time. And there's also women in there that jump in and share lots and things. So it's whatever works for you. They start again, I think it is the 24th of April. It's towards the end of April, and they are fabulous. And if you've ever thought about, oh, I'd quite like to work with a stylist, but I'm not sure if it's for me, that is a really good opportunity to come and see what it's like to kind of be in my world and be in my community. And also, you will meet some other great women. They always attract a really gorgeous group of women who build this lovely connectivity throughout the 8 weeks that we're together. So that's another one of my lovely things you can tap into, and they're like £39 a month, and it runs for 8 weeks. So it's very doable. It's under £100. It gives you a real taster, and it often sets people off on this really nice journey to kind of explore their style a little bit more and also understand their body. So
I
yeah,
love
those are the big things I've got coming up.
that.
So
So for
you
all
can
those
find me on
people,
Instagram, and
yeah, I was going to say,
yeah,
if you
I've
want
got,
to accommodate
yeah, for
the last
all of
two
my things,
tickets,
as I'm always
let me
rubbish about
find
this, I'm
you.
just like, yeah, come into my world. I don't get to tell people where they can find me. So my website is storiesofclothes.com. My Instagram is storiesofclothes. You can come and find me on there. I share lots of tools and tips on there. Sometimes you can come behind the scenes with me when I'm going shopping on Stories as well, which is always quite fun for people. So yeah, that's kind of a lively, buoyant space, probably where I spend most of my time actually on Instagram. So you're very welcome to come over there. I'm about to run a free 5-day colour challenge as well. I ran recently an accessories challenge, which was lovely. And again, this is a really nice way for people who are like, oh, maybe I'd like to try colour, but I'm a little bit scared of it, or I don't know where to start. Come and join the free challenge. It's 5 days. It's really easy and accessible and doable. Lots of pictures shared, lots of inspiration, lots of fun. So yeah, again, pop onto Instagram. You'll be able to see how to sign up to that, and
Goodness.
hopefully see some of you there.
Oh my goodness, Abby. It's been as joyful as I expected it to be, this conversation. Thank you so much for your time. I know that people will be listening, itching to go and get in their wardrobes. As for me, I'm going to research neon underwear. That's where I'll
Yeah.
be
Well, let me know if you find any, won't you? I
next.
feel like I need some in my life now.
I will. Abby, thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay, tell me, what did you think? Are you too off to buy neon underwear? That's what I'm wondering. Or are you hankering after a piece of carrot cake? Either way, I'm pretty sure I won't be alone this weekend when I pop into my wardrobe and see what forgotten treasures I can find. Do you see what I mean about how joyful it is to spend time in Abby's company? Do try and be one of those last two people to grab the two retreat tickets. I know it's going to be an amazing weekend. And go and follow her on Instagram. She really is a pop of inspiration, colour, and joy to add to your grid. All right, my lovelies, until next time, let me know what you think. And until we speak again, take good care. If you enjoyed this podcast from Inside the Hive by Quiet the Hive, then please leave us a 5-star rating or drop us any comments in the box below. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Any comments or ratings you give us all help other people who would benefit from the content to find us. Thanks so much.